You're listening to CLNS Media, powered by Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving.
Oh, Hayward.
That's what I'm talking about.
Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, as good as an evening as it can get if you're a Boston sports fan, watching not one but two of your hometown teams drop some very important games tonight. First, of course, the Boston Bruins dropping their game against the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. But even more importantly, and the subject of this show, the Boston Celtics getting some payback from the Milwaukee Bucks, who just could not miss a shot in this game. Dropping game two of the Eastern Conference semifinals in Milwaukee, 123-102. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the Boston Celtics dropping game two of the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Milwaukee Bucks at the, what's the name of the Milwaukee Bucks forum? The Fiserv Forum. Dropping game two of the Eastern Conference semifinals against the Milwaukee Bucks at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, 123-102. This show, CLNS Media, Boston Celtics postgame show, is brought to you, much like the previous episodes of the CLNS Media, Boston Celtics postgame show, by betonline.ag. Make sure to go to clnsmedia.com/win. And use promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back on your first deposit from betonline.ag. And with that, I am your host, Nick Sesento, and I will be joined very shortly by my co-host, Joel Pavone, one of the hosts of the extremely popular Causeway Street podcast. We didn't get that in the last time he hosted. It was actually his first time hosting here on CLNS Media. We didn't get a chance to shout out his Causeway Street podcast, so we're going to say Causeway Street podcast about half a dozen times, if not a full dozen, maybe even a baker's dozen, to shout out Joel Pavone, and he'll be joining me very shortly. Tonight's game, as I mentioned, Boston Celtics losing 123-102. Celtics came out looking competitive for most of the first half, even gaining pretty decent leads, I believe 5-7 point leads, maybe even 9 point leads, looking really good in the first half. Bucks put together a run late in that first half, went into the locker room at the break up by 4 points, the Bucks 59-55, and from there it was all over for the Boston Celtics playing basketball tonight, because they let the Milwaukee Bucks just destroy them completely throughout the rest of this game. Let me pull up some stats real quick. It was a career performance, or we could say career playoff performance, if there's that much to compare it to for Chris Middleton. But Chris Middleton, really the player of the game for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight, scoring 28 points. 7 of 10 from three. Chris Middleton really killing it for the Bucks and putting a hurt on the Boston Celtics. Eric Bledsoe, some guy like that, points for the Bucks as well, showing the Boston Celtics what he didn't show them in game one. Tough game for Eric Bledsoe. We can mention the weak freak. I mean, the Greek weak, the weak Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, you know, another nice game, 7 for 16 from the field, similar to his 7 for 21 from the field in game one, for 29 points in this game, a little bit better than his previous output in game one, but 13 for 18 from the free throw line. Giannis, you're supposed to be the MVP of the league. Why do you need 18 free throw attempts to score 29 points in your first ever Eastern Conference semifinal or playoff semifinal series? That's bogus, bro. You're shooting, let's see, 37.8 from the field, Giannis, in this series. You've scored 33 points from the field in this series, Giannis, but you've scored 18 points from the free throw line, 18 of 28, 28 in these two games, Giannis. So nice 29 points for you, but I'm not going to give you a cookie for all those free throws tonight. I don't like turning on a highly anticipated NBA game, and I'm not going to be James Harden here. I'm not going to complain about the refs, even though they're absolute trash, and we knew that coming into this game with Tony Brothers. At least it wasn't Scott Foster. I mean, it's better to have an incompetent ref than a ref that's absolutely crooked. But either way, we knew it was going to happen coming into this game. The Milwaukee Bucks shooting 31 free throws to 27, and most of those of 27 that the Boston Celtics shot came in garbage time. But the big, big story of this game, not to bury the lead for Boston Celtics fans, I just had to get a couple digs in there for the Bucks. 9 points for Kyrie Irving. 9 points for Kyrie Irving on 4 of 18 shooting, 1 of 5 from 3. Many of those 1 of 5 from threes, from 3, from deep, were just dribble, dribble, pull up, shoot. Hero shot from Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving was not the only one on this team that took a bunch of first look, dribble, 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 18 seconds left on the shot clock. I'm going to chuck up this three that's not falling. Celtics only shooting 35.5%, just over 35.5% from three. That's not a terrible percentage, but, you know, in this game when they weren't falling, when they needed to be falling, the Boston Celtics kept chucking them, and they were not hitting, and they were not all good shots. As is often the case with the Boston Celtics, sometimes they have bad shooting nights. A lot of them are good shots. A lot of them weren't. A lot of them, like I said, dribble, 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 pull up, take a contested or a semi-contested closeout three-point shot that was unnecessary. The Boston Celtics were in the bonus with more than half of the second quarter left to go and did not attack the basket once. Not once. How are you in the bonus when the Milwaukee Bucks can, you know, breathe down the back of your neck, you can probably get a foul, and not attack the basket once and try to score, but instead pull up on each and every single possession, possession after possession? The ugly Boston Celtics reared their head again from earlier in the season, from about midpoint in the season, where they would just give up and stop showing that effort, even when the game is still competitive, and just start raining down threes for absolutely no reason. Especially when you're in the penalty with half the quarter left to go. Just put your head down and force the pressure on the rim. Force Tony Brothers and Mark Davis to make a call in this game. That's my rant for right now. I'm going to throw it to my man from the Causeway Street podcast if I can get my switchboard to run. My switchboard is not going to run that way, so I'm going to go back to the iPad and I'm going to do it this way. My man, Joel Pavone. Did I miss anything in this in my brief rant to start the game or to start the show? I could have gone longer. I'm a little bit upset right now. At the end of the day, I think we can say the Boston Celtics did what they needed to do in Milwaukee. Milwaukee won this game and beat the Boston Celtics as bad as the Boston Celtics beat them in game one. But at the end of the day, the big takeaway is what? The Boston Celtics now have home court advantage and just have to win games at home in Boston, where they are better than they are on the road. But still, what happened in this game, Joel?
I mean, just like you said at the top of the show, it was a lot of, hero ball, not the team ball we saw in game one. A lot of early first look in the shot clock type of shot. And, that was good up until halftime, because once the third quarter started, even though they did cut a couple of the mini runs that the Bucks went on, but after let's say I want to say around the 7 minute mark, I think, of the third quarter, when they were only down by three, when they were in the middle of another hole, they were digging out of another hole that the Milwaukee dug them into, and then it just stopped for 28 points of the Bucks scoring. And the Celtics were turning the ball over. They looked lost out there. Only scored 2 points in that stretch. So a 28-2 run for the Bucks, and that was all she wrote. That's all the Bucks needed from that point forward, because they just looked lost. They looked defeated. There was, like I said, a lot of hero ball. Kyrie didn't have it going, but the Celtics still could have put something together from somebody else. It doesn't have to always be Kyrie. It's very rare that Kyrie has this type of shooting night, but the Celtics have won without him at all in the game. So the Celtics still had to put something together. And I get it. Yeah, they won game one. They didn't have to win game two, but it would have been nice to be up 2-0, right? Coming back to Boston.
Oh, yeah, not just nice. I mean, it would have been, almost a party in the streets. I did, I helped out with the post-game show after game one. The hosts were Matt Rury and Taylor McLeod. I believe Taylor McLeod may be moving on from CLNS, so we want to give a big shout-out to Taylor McLeod as he goes on to some bigger and better things. Hopefully he fills in some shows or continues to do the odd show here as the Boston Celtics hopefully continue to make a deep run into the playoffs. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's hard to say. This was a must, as you said. Yeah, would have been better going in, obviously. You want to go on the road. You want to win those two games on the road, suck the life completely out of the opposing team. I think you would have had all of the pundits, and I know even after the game one beatdown, which was a surprise for, I think, the vast majority of non-green goggled Celtics fans and analysts out there, like Paul Pierce after game one. Paul Pierce was basically declaring the series over. I still think the Boston Celtics, and you have to give, just off the objective metric of home series advantage, the Boston Celtics should still have the advantage in this series. I still feel the Boston Celtics have the advantage in this series. I think aside from that, I would say you combine it all together, the kind of the little mini run that Milwaukee made at the end of the second quarter, and then kind of the you know, that bad, you know, end of the third quarter for the Boston Celtics that let the Milwaukee Bucks really blow this game wide open. I mean, the Celtics played, you know, at least a half, maybe, you know, two and a half quarters of decent basketball in this game. And then you can't really judge garbage time because, you know, once, you know, Time Lord comes out, no disrespect to Time Lord, the Shemmy or Gershon Yabusele, who had one of the sickest breakaway fast break dunks for a guy that weighs 350 pounds that I've ever seen. It was an and-one dunk there in garbage time. I mean, you can't really, you know, judge garbage time because once those guys come out, once light-skinned blonde dreads for the Milwaukee Bucks comes out, it's pretty much, you know, you can't gauge what you're getting from the team there. But the Boston Celtics did play a reasonable half of basketball. I think they conceded a little bit early, and I think the biggest issue with this game is, I think, lack of that awareness. And I know that that's Brad's system, that Brad likes to, you know, pass the ball around, and Brad likes to, you know, get those looks. And the Boston Celtics players, if they feel they have an inch of space, they're not going to give up on that shot. They're going to take that shot. It's going to come, and they're going to take it. And when it's not falling, I just feel, and I've said this multiple times, Joel, throughout the season, that the Boston Celtics, there's been a lack sometimes of awareness of where you are or where they are in the bonus, or where they are when it comes to fouls, where they are when it comes to, you know, getting the other team in foul trouble. And just don't put their head down. When the game is still tight, when the game is still close, when there's, you know, no need to try to make up, you know, a huge deficit. I mean, even if you're down by double figures in the third quarter, you can still come back from that by making smart plays and by, you know, putting your head down and getting to the basket. They didn't do that. Yes, I would love for the Boston Celtics to have gone home. I think everybody would have put this thing, you know, signed, sealed, delivered. It's just a matter of time before the Celtics win this series. But they got one. And I think coming into this series, Joel, I think most Boston Celtics fans would have probably said, if they're going to steal one in Milwaukee, it's probably going to be game one. Because if they lose game one and then try to steal game two and then defend home court in games three and four, that's three games in a row they have to win. And they're probably not going to beat the number one team in the NBA, regardless of whatever we have to say about Giannis's, you know, lack of other games other than shooting free throws and some of the other flaws this Milwaukee Bucks team has. I don't know if anyone expects or if anyone could expect this Boston Celtics team to beat the Milwaukee Bucks multiple times in a row in that way. So they won game one, which they had to win. Would have been nice. I think they would have had an opportunity here. I don't know what happened to Kyrie's game. That's a complete mystery. I mean, it wasn't just not happening. You can't have 9 points in the playoffs. And I've been critical of Kyrie. This is not a Nick Sesento bashing Kyrie, which I've done throughout the series at certain occasions. I'm not complaining about Kyrie's lack of leadership, but you can't have 9 points in a playoff game, Joel, and expect to lead your team to victory. On 4 of 18 shooting, I'm not all that great at arithmetic off the top of my head, but if 4 of 16 is 25%, then 4 of 18 must be something close to like 20%. So, I mean, four of 20 would be 20% or something. So he's close to like 21, 22% shooting tonight from the field. You can't have that from the one guy that's really the leader on the team. And you mentioned somebody else that could have picked it up, but I'm going to call the next guy out that I think could have picked it up. 9 points tonight for Kyrie. Guess who has 9 points total in this whole series? Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum.
What happened to What happened to Jason Tatum, Joel?
I don't think he made the trip to Milwaukee, bro. And, you know, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference, you know, when you got like five, six guys scoring double figures and a nice, impressive game one win. You're like, all right, you know, he it's okay. He took the night off, so to speak, offensively. He did play some decent defense in game one. That was necessary, you know, when Antetokounmpo was charging the lane. But this was the game that he was supposed to show up in. If Kyrie wasn't having it, wasn't going, he didn't have it from the field, then Tatum was supposed to step up. Supposedly he's supposed to be the second best offensive player on the squad, right? That's always been the I guess his role that the talking heads nationally and some people here locally have given to him. Like, yeah, that's Jason Tatum was supposed to show up, and he didn't. for the second straight game. And this time it was blatant. You can see that he was needed and he was nowhere to be found. And I'm gonna call out a third person because he's been doing so well throughout the playoffs, and I'm gonna say Gordon Hayward was a no show tonight off the bench because he's been leading the Celtics bench and he's been another playmaker on the court for the Celtics, especially when Kyrie has been up and down. And those three guys combined, Kyrie, Tatum, and Horford, they went I think 7 for 33 combined from the field, something ridiculous like that. Yeah, 7 for 33 from the field. And the Celtics overall shot less than 40%. They pretty much played the same way the Bucks did in game one.
It was a complete reversal in pretty much every aspect of the game. The Bucks were the Celtics from game one, and the Celtics were the Bucks from game one. They role reversed. I guess that's the new thing in the NBA. You know, they're going to do a little role reversal. As long as they don't start wearing, polyurethane leather doggy masks and start, whipping each other, I guess everything will be all right with the role playing. But I prefer the Celtics to play the way Celtics, normally play, and I prefer them to hold the Bucks the way they've held the Bucks in game one, and the way they've held the Bucks in series past and in games past. So I don't know, Joel, what to say. I keep wanting to call you Jose. I'm going to get it ingrained in my head.
That's okay.
Joel.
It's all right. My mom still does it, too. It's all good, all good. But, at least for the Bucks, right, I'll throw them a bone here, right? The only time I think I'll throw them a bone on this episode is when Antetokounmpo was still struggling in the beginning of this game, the other guys, the quote-unquote other guys, were at least knocking down threes. And at the end of the day, between Middleton, Antetokounmpo, and Bledsoe, who finally woke up, they scored 78 of Milwaukee's 123 points. That can't happen again in this series if Boston is trying to win this series and show out at least in game three. That can't happen again. Those three can't combine for nearly 80 points.
No, it can't. And the idea that, well, as long as the Boston Celtics stop Giannis, you can let the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks, do their thing as long as they stop Giannis. That, and some people said that prior to the series getting started. And I think I had a discussion with, again, Matt Rury, I believe it was after game four of the Indiana series, after the Celtics had won game four of the Indiana series. And that was kind of the mentality that, that was expressed by, I think, a lot of people in the, Celtics blogosphere, fanosphere, or analystosphere, whatever you want to call it, was just stop Giannis. If you can keep Giannis in the low 20s or in the 20s from going completely off, or maybe it was the other way, is let Giannis do whatever he wants as long as you stop everybody else. But the thing in this game was, the Celtics didn't stop anybody. I think they did a pretty decent job containing Giannis in terms of a traditional offense from Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't think Giannis had an exception, and I started out the show with that. I don't think Giannis had an exceptionally fantastic game tonight. He was, 7 for 16? That's less than 50% from the field for Giannis in the game tonight. And then he was 13 for 18 from the free throw line. I mean, I'm just a strong believer, I'm not going to harp on the referees because the fouls were relatively even, and I'm not going to harp on all the history. This show has a long history. I'm not going to harp on that. But if you are an MVP candidate, and I think that it's pretty much a lock because I don't think they're going to give it to James Harden. They gave it to James Harden last year. The Milwaukee Bucks had the best record in the NBA this season, in the regular season. The Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis has been universally acknowledged as having stepped up his game. No, he doesn't have a reliable three-point shot yet. No, he doesn't have a reliable, some of those moves. He's still kind of, that power to the basket and, dominating in the paint type of guy. And I think the Celtics have done a good enough job holding him back. But this Milwaukee Bucks team has, you know, and I laughed before the series that, you know, what is, you know, Drew Bledsoe going to do? What is Drew Bledsoe going to do? What is Chris Middleton going to do? What is Pat Connaughton going to do? And I don't think Pat Connaughton does much of anything. I know he seemed to have a couple of decent plays tonight. But there are enough, there's enough talent on this team. And, by the way, Malcolm Brogdon is anticipated to come back possibly as early as Game 3 on Friday night in Boston. So be aware of that. No timetable yet for Marcus Smart. But I would imagine since this series is going at least five games, you'll probably see a Marcus Smart appearance sometime in game five or six if this goes into the later parts of the series. From what I've heard of the updates, and I have no inside information, but last week Marcus Smart was running and taking three-point shots. So that's a far cry from full contact, you know, drills or whatever else it is. But hopefully if Brogdon comes back, that's going to be an extra lift for the Bucks. But if the Boston Celtics can't anticipate Marcus Smart coming back and playing that defensive role, that would be fantastic for the Boston Celtics to counteract the addition of Malcolm Brogdon to the Milwaukee Bucks lineup. And with that said, we'd just like to remind everybody that this is a live Boston Celtics post-game show, the playoff edition, Eastern Conference Semifinals Game 2. Your Boston Celtics fall 123-102 in a beatdown at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Boston Celtics couldn't steal another game in Milwaukee before heading back to Boston on Friday night. Make sure you call in and join the conversation at the betonline.ag phone lines, 347-215-7771. Again, that's 347-215-7771. That call is toll-free. Make sure to dial 1 if you'd like to get on the air and participate in the conversation. I see the switchboard is already lighting up with some listeners. And those call lines, the betonline.ag call lines, are brought to you by sports betting at betonline.ag sportsbook. BetOnline.ag is more than just an online betting platform. They boast a focus-on-the-player approach and have built their reputation on offering clients nothing but the best, from cutting-edge technology, enticing promotions, and the latest sports betting odds. Arguably their most popular and well-known service, their famous sportsbook, is where a lot of the magic happens. Magic, Joel, the magic. Here you'll find... the magic, that's right. Not the Orlando magic, but the betting magic, where you can actually make some money magic. If you bet on the Celtics tonight, I don't know what you could have bet on that would have been a good thing. Hopefully you didn't bet. Well, I don't know if there are any good prop bets. If you bet that Kyrie was going to score less than double figures tonight, then you're betting against your team. You need to get off my bandwagon. We don't like that here at Celtics Nation, at the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show. But you could have bet. Tonight would have been a good night to stay off betonline.ag, at least when it comes to the Boston Celtics. But as I mentioned, arguably their most popular and well-known service, their famous sportsbook, is where a lot of the magic happens. Here you will find live lines for all major sporting events, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, soccer, tennis, rugby, NASCAR, what is it, squash, hagelai, women's college volleyball. That's one of my favorites. I don't know if you can bet on that on betonline.ag, but if you can, I would, because I love women's college volleyball. And so much more. Their live betting feature allows you to bet on your favorites quickly and easily and in real time. Client input is extremely important to betonline.ag, so feel free to offer your valuable suggestions to help them give you the best platform for all your sports betting, horse betting, poker, and casino gambling needs. And make sure when you go to clnsmedia.com/win, you use promo code CLNS50 for 50% cash back on your first deposit on betonline.ag. You do any betting, Joel?
No, not really. I've tried to in the past, but I think I'm gonna check out this betonline.ag. It sounds interesting for the fact that you can bet on things like soccer and, like you were saying, like women's volleyball, like there's other things and not just like football or basketball or baseball. There's other things, so I'm interested. So I'm gonna check it out though. I'm gonna check it out definitely. I'll let you know how I do though.
Yeah, share your winnings since I suggested it. Make sure you share some of those winnings, and if you get a chance to check out some highlight, dying sport, but it's always fun. Bet on some highlight. Here it's really good. Oh, cricket, by the way, Caribbean nations, they like to play cricket, and cricket is real big. You can actually make some money on cricket. Anyways, we're gonna go to the betonline.ag phone lines 347-215-7771 straight to the phone lines. Area code 913. I see you pressed 1 to get live on the air. Area code 913. What's your name, where you're from, and what did you think about tonight's crap show at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee? Area code 913.
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys? My name is Steven. I'm calling from Kansas City.
Oh, what's up, Steven in Kansas?
I mean, a lot of what you guys talked about earlier on in the show, I would have to agree with. I do think, you know, for the most part, I thought Boston was able to – I thought they hung in there with Milwaukee in the first half. You know, I kind of had, an expectation that, since Boston took game one, they were up 1-0, that Milwaukee was going to be playing with a lot more fire, that they're going to be playing – I wouldn't say desperate, but a little bit more energy because they didn't want to be down 2-0 going back to Boston. And I thought Boston took their punch, but it was pretty much the third quarter from hell. I mean, it was 74-71. Yeah.
They took their first punch, but there was like a second and a third and the fourth punch after that.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, it was down to 3, and I thought there was a chance that Boston really could have kept pace with them. But it just was an awful third quarter. But I would agree with you. Irvin, I don't think Irvin's gonna have another game like that the rest of the playoffs. I think that was one of those games where he just didn't seem to make anything. And Tatum. I mean, Tatum was probably their second best player in the Indiana series. He made a lot of not just smart plays on the offensive end, but he was really savvy on both ends of the floor. But I believe he's shooting for the first two games, 4 of 13, and he's 0 of 3 from 3. I mean, he's been a just complete negative on offense. So, yeah, I mean, if Boston can take another game at home and make it 2-2 going back to game 5, or if they can somehow take 2 in Boston and take a 3-1 lead, I think they'd be in really good shape. But, I expected Milwaukee to come out with a lot more fire. They did. And then obviously Chris Middleton. I mean, I don't know if you guys touched on Middleton's performance tonight, but it kind of just seems like whenever Middleton plays Boston, he's unconscious.
Yeah, no, agreed. Yeah, he's always a pain for Boston, and particularly in the postseason. During the regular season, not so much this year, but last year he was a problem, and this year in the first two games, I think that was like the only good thing to take away for Milwaukee in game one was Middleton. But tonight though, he was just lights out. And Celtics just did a horrible job of defending the 3 overall.
Yeah. I mean, they made 23s tonight, Milwaukee. They attempted 47, and a lot of those 3s came from role players. And I think that's what, in my opinion, I know you guys early on in the show, talked about, the key of, if you shut down Giannis and you let the other guys – do well, then you'll win, or vice versa. But the Celtics fell into the trap of letting Bledsoe, Middleton, for a certain amount of time, Lopez open from 3, and they got burned. But hopefully they can correct that heading into game 3.
Agreed.
Definitely. Any last thoughts before we move on to some other callers out there in Kansas?
No, I think I've pretty much said what I thought of. So yeah, but thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Definitely, make sure to call back after game three. That's Friday evening. So the game starts at 8. The post game should start about 10:30, as soon as the game is over. So make sure to call back in and let us know what you think about game three. Hopefully, it'll be a better result than what the Boston Celtics came up with tonight. Joel, this game reminded me of a quote. I believe, what game was it? Was it the last game? Was it what game was it that we covered together? And we covered, it was, I think it was a three-man team. There
game
was three of
game
us.
Game three against the Pacers.
Game three against the Pacers, and there was a famous quote. And I think that famous quote, we included the first part of that famous quote from Danny Green, but did not include the second part of that famous quote from Danny Green. So I just thought I would play the entire Danny Green.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. The Boston
That's
Celtics
exactly
could have had the Milwaukee Bucks on an 0-2 hook going back to Boston for two games. Coasting could have literally had some extreme Time Lord time in game three or game four if they would have just held on. But, you know, as the previous caller from Kansas, I think he said his name was Steve. I'm not sure. I don't want to call him by the wrong name, so I'll just call him Kansas. Maybe Kansas Steve until he corrects me the next time he calls in. You know, you can take away Giannis all you want, but if you are going to let Chris Middleton just blow your ass up for 28 points on 7 of 10 for 3, if you're going to let Drew Bledsoe, and I refuse to call him by his actual name, if you let Drew Bledsoe go in on you for, what was it, 21 points for Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, play solid defense. The Bucks played, you know, some very solid defense closing out on the Boston Celtics. And the Boston Celtics, again, made it easy for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight because they refused to attack the basket even while they were in the bonus, even while they had the Bucks in the penalty, refused to put their heads down. I think there's a lot. I mean, if there was anything to take away from game one, answers to take away from game one, and I think a lot of people kind of laughed. Giannis had a pregame interview. I don't know if it was today or yesterday. He had an interview saying, what are the adjustments you're going to make for game two? And Giannis kind of said, we're not going to make any adjustments. We're just going to execute. And I think for the most part, with the exception of inserting Mirotić into the starting lineup for Sterling Brown, who, I mean, is pretty much a nobody as far as I'm concerned. I don't think anybody in the NBA is really looking out for Sterling Brown. He's there as a consequence of Malcolm Brogdon not being there. You know, with the exception of adding Mirotić to that starting lineup, and he was taken out fairly quickly with two quick fouls, the Milwaukee Bucks really didn't adjust, at least in terms of personnel, Joel. It was more just they hit a lot of the shots that they did not make in game one. And I think that, as the previous caller also mentioned, a lot more urgency for the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics just didn't match that urgency, and I think you saw that. We named the three culprits in particular. Kyrie Irving, number one, you're the leader of this team. You know, whatever happens, say what you want in the post game, say whatever happens, but 9 points on 4 of 18 shooting, unacceptable by any measure from anybody. That could have been Russell Westbrook, who shoots like trash, and you expect him to shoot 4 for 18, but still somehow get, you know, his 20 points, his 10 rebounds and 10 assists or something. This was a terrible night for Kyrie Irving, but no help from Jason Tatum, a guy who was up for the moment last season in the playoffs, who's been up for the moment, who had almost no pressure, and who was up for those, you know, big moments to carry the team at many times throughout the season last year and in last year's playoffs, not getting it done. And Gordon Hayward, and this has been the issue with Gordon Hayward, is that we know Gordon Hayward, Joel, is probably not 100%. They mention it on every broadcast, whether it's the national broadcast or the home NBC Sports broadcast, is that Gordon Hayward is still receiving treatment on his ankle. He's still rehabbing the ankle. He's out there playing. He's out there doing his stuff. But what percent do we really believe Gordon Hayward is at? And that's the question. Can Gordon Hayward string together, you know, multiple, you know, 15, 16, 20-point games, or is this going to be the Gordon Hayward of the regular season where he has a fantastic game like he did in game one? He scores somewhere between 15 to 20 points. He gets those timely baskets. He does things the right way. And in the next game, he's a phantom. You don't even see him. He's barely out there on the court. If that's the case, you can't. I think the real thing is for me, Joel, and tell me if I'm wrong and what I'm saying here because I can ramble. If Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward have a bad game in the same night, the chances of the Boston Celtics winning are slim to none, minus an outstanding performance from Kyrie Irving. And tonight you got none of those things, and I think that's basically what you ended up seeing from the Celtics tonight. And not just, you know, losing the game and losing an opportunity to go up 2-0 in this series without having even played a game at home yet, but letting the Milwaukee Bucks, in the way that the Celtics lost, letting the Milwaukee Bucks gain some confidence back. Because the Bucks had won this game, say, for example, by 2 or 4 points or on free throws at the end of the game, you know, extending the game out and winning on, you know, something like that. It would have been different, but I think this may change the complexion a little bit. I think the Boston Celtics have now found themselves back into a dogfight where it looked like after one, they looked pretty good. And I think after this, now it's going to be another slugfest. Even though I still give the advantage to the Celtics, I think the way that they lost in this game adds a little bit of extra advantage to the Bucks, other than just the raw W or L, win or loss. What do you think, Joel?
Well, I mean, I think you hit it. You hit it right on the head, because at least when, like I said earlier in the episode, when Antetokounmpo didn't have it going right out the gate in the first half, all the other guys stepped up and were knocking down threes. Even like the no names, like you were talking about before, coming into the game and knocking a three or another three, and it kept them. It kept them on their toes while Antetokounmpo started to get going a little bit. Middleton was just lights out. Bledsoe finally got going. So then on the flip side, what did the Bucks do to limit the Celtics offense? They cut the head of the snake, and they defended Kyrie the way the Celtics defended Antetokounmpo in game one. They did that tonight by limiting him, double-teaming him. The only difference is, in the past, when that's happened, from any defense, when that, just any team in general, when they double Kyrie, he's able to still figure it out and kick it out to his teammates. But tonight, when he did try to kick it to his teammates, they just weren't knocking down the shots. I mean, Hayward, even though he's not a consistent 20-point scorer, but he was efficient, though. And he's been efficient since the start of the playoffs, getting you 8 to 9 shot attempts and making 60-70% of those shots. So that was missing tonight. And then you have Tatum once again. Tatum, he's been a no-show offensively here in these first two games. Didn't make that much of a difference in game one, but tonight he needed to show up, and he was nowhere to be found. And once again, you have a game where Brown and Tatum can't both, you know, get it going offensively. And so it's some, for the most part, when they play together in the starting lineup, it's either one gets going or it's the other. It's rarely it's both. In the Pacers series, we saw a lot of that. They were both getting it going. But so far in this series, Jalen had a great game one. Tonight he was okay, but he still got his points. But again, Jason Tatum, where have you been, bro? Like, you got to step up here. You were an important piece in last year's playoffs, and you're still an important piece this time around, because you're capable of doing the things that we've seen you already do. So he's just got to get it going, I think, especially for game three, because it's tough. It's going to be a tough game three now, because, like you said, it's a series now. If the Celtics that won this game, Celtics might have been kind of feeling themselves a little bit, but now they're like, okay, one blowout versus another blowout. So now, I'm pressed to say that we're going to see another blowout from either team in this series going forward. But it's just one of those things where, you know, it's like, it's a chess match. It's like, all right, how are you going to respond now? and the Celtics need to come out strong in game three, especially Kyrie.
Yeah, I think if anything, there has to be a fire under Kyrie's ass for game three to say, listen, you know, he had a fantastic game one. You know, he was playoff Kyrie. I don't know what Kyrie this was. This was like preseason Kyrie. This was like Kyrie on his couch playing, you know, 2K blindfolded during, you know, a summer league Kyrie. I mean, I don't know what Kyrie this was, but this is a Kyrie that, you know, you rarely get to see. I mean, this is like, you write it down because this Kyrie was, I mean, as rare as Chris Middleton's performance was, and I don't think a 28-point performance from Chris Middleton is out of the ordinary. I think if somebody would have said, hey, Chris Middleton is going to have a 28-point game in this series, I would have said, okay, probably. That makes sense. I wouldn't expect that. But if somebody said, hey, Kyrie Irving's only going to have 9 points in one of these games, I would have said, are you effing ishing me? Are you crazy? I don't believe it. And that's exactly what Kyrie did. So I don't think Chris Middleton is going to have multiple games like this. I think Chris Middleton, if you get, you know, a 19-point Chris Middleton performance, the Boston Celtics can live with that. I think that's perfectly fine as long as they continue doing exactly what they're doing for Giannis. They have to be able to both limit Giannis, and something's going to have to give because you can't always do both. And sometimes you could see, even in game one and more so in this game, that those rotations were a little bit slow, and they're going to have to figure out a way, maybe give up a little bit on that great wall of, you know, of blocking the Greek freak, or you know dedicate a little bit more to, you know, staying with your man on the perimeter and not giving them as much space. But, you know, the things that really, as a Celtics fan watching this game, and as someone who doesn't particularly like the Bucks, I don't care much for the Bucks. I don't care much for Giannis's game. I've seen it before. I've seen players that just barrel through to the basket, lower their shoulder in what would be called an offensive foul for 98% of the rest of the league, or 99% of the rest of the league doesn't get called for Giannis. I've seen players that elbow their way, elbow defenders out of the way as they basically just truck and take 3 steps or sometimes 4 steps into the paint. That player is called LeBron James, and I think the Giannis Antetokounmpo is basically looks like a unrefined LeBron James, a LeBron James that used to rely on his, you know, freakish size and speed for his size and power for his size, but without very many moves. Yeah, he had a nice spin move that he did that somebody described, that one of the TNT commentators described as a Dominique Wilkins spin. And when they showed the replay, I'm looking at it and say, he took 4 steps. Now, I understand you get a little bit of an extra dribble when you're doing a little spin move and you're doing something nice. Kyrie gets the benefit of that, you know, extra half a step or sometimes that extra step as you're gathering your dribble. But, I mean, the guy has no concept of a pivot foot. Maybe that concept doesn't exist in the NBA anymore. I have no idea, Joel. But the Boston Celtics have to, at the end of the day, have to pay attention to the supporting cast. Can't let them, especially Middleton, who was draining things like crazy from beginning to end. He was hitting his shots. If you're going to take Giannis out of this game, you can't then let Middleton and Bledsoe go for almost 50 points on you. You just can't let that happen. You have to be able to, you know, it's a give and a take for game three.
Yeah, yeah.
And yes, two blowouts. One was a 21-point blowout. I think game one was a 22-point blowout for the Celtics. Game two was a 21-point blowout. But again, at the end of the day, the Celtics went into Milwaukee and did what they had to do. So I don't call this a draw at all. I call this the Boston Celtics come out with an advantage because they stole home court advantage. But what's going to happen, it could easily, and like the caller from Kansas just said, Joel, it could easily turn out to be a situation where the Celtics split games 3 and 4. That would be terrible. I don't want that to happen. I don't want a game 7 in Milwaukee. I mean, that would be a disaster for the Boston Celtics, especially if they draw another set of refs like they had tonight and like they've had the previous couple of games where, you know, anytime Giannis gets into the paint and gets stuck, he's going to get called for whatever it is as long as he flails his arms. So, I don't know, before we cut to a break, what type of adjustments do you think going forward Joel, the Boston Celtics may need to make? Do you think that it's just a completely defensive thing, or is there something offensively they need to work on as well?
I think their bad offense in the middle to the end of that third quarter led to bad defense because of the long rebounds, the turnovers, the points in transition for the Bucks. So it's like, you can see a lot of them putting their heads down, like, oh man, trying to get back, and if you're making shots, it's easy to play defense because you're like, all right, let's go, baby. We want to get that ball back and go down the other end and keep scoring and keep running up the score as much as we can. But when you're missing shots, that run back to the other side is that much longer. That run back to the other side is like it's like you're running uphill. Like, oh, we missed another shot. Oh, you turn the ball over again. It was one possession in the middle of that 28-2 run. There was multiple possessions, actually, three straight possessions, actually, where the Celtics just turned the ball over. They just threw the ball away. Just lazy passes, throwing the ball into the crowd, just letting the Bucks, do what they do, score in transition. Because when the Bucks play, when you make the Bucks play half-court offense, they don't know what to do with themselves. And they've been like that all season long. Like, you have to, when you have a lead on the Bucks, it has to be a double-digit lead. You can't let them linger around. And in the first half, the Celtics weren't able to put their foot on or leave their foot on the gas because Horford was making shots, which was great. Morris was making shots, which was great. But the rest of the guys, no shows. There were no shows in this game, and that's what I think. In order to beat the Bucks, you gotta. In order to play great defense against the Bucks, you gotta make your shots. That's plain and simple. Because you brought up a good point in the beginning of the episode. They weren't taking it to the hoop in that stretch where in the second quarter. And that stretch where the Bucks were in the penalty already, and I felt like they started off more aggressive in the first quarter of this game because in game one they were just hitting shots. It was like an ocean for them, and so then they weren't really taking it to the hoop, and they didn't get to the free throw line in game one until like almost the end of the first half for the first time. Tonight they got to the free throw line probably a lot because of the referee crew tonight that was on. With a lot of pausing, I don't think the Celtics really got into a good rhythm, especially in the second half. But they were more aggressive in the beginning. But then the second half, they settled for shots that they weren't making. I felt like they were forcing shots that they should have had, gave that extra pass. And again, I think to lead to good offense, to lead to good defense, you gotta play your good offense, and that's what the Celtics need to do. They're a jump shooting team. Let's face it, they don't get to the free throw line very often. So they gotta hit their shots if they want to get back in transition. That's pretty much what I got, man. When it comes to game three and the rest of the series,
have to hit the shots because what happens with a long miss, Joel? You played basketball. I played basketball. I coach middle school girls basketball, so I know what happens. What happens if you take a long shot and you miss it? What happens to that rebound? It's a long rebound, right? And what
it's a
happens
long rebound.
The other
exactly.
It's a long rebound. The other team grabs that long rebound. What happens? They're taking it all the way down the court, and they're probably going to score on you. And that's just the nature of basketball.
Yeah.
That's the way basketball
how,
works.
And that's how the runs. That's how runs. That's how runs start. The beginning of runs is usually a couple of layups, a couple of lazy passes that lead to layups. And so that's what happened tonight. I feel like big time for the Celtics in that. Beginning of that third quarter, pretty much the entire third quarter, but here we are.
Yep, definitely. All right, once again, the toll-free call line is 347-215-7771. I do see a couple of callers still on the switchboard. We'll get to them after this commercial break, after which Joel and I will close up the show with a few final thoughts.
Today's episode is powered by betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, of course you want to find the best person for that job. Well, the odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, Your matches are based on so much more than a resume. LinkedIn goes further. They include skills and background, interests, activities, and passions. This way, you'll get the most relevant and qualified candidate early on in the process, and you can spend more time on candidates you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in developing quality hires. So listen up. Post a job today at linkedin.com/garden and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/garden. Terms and conditions apply.
Joel, hey, yo, Joel.
Yep.
You ever seen that movie Juice? Remember when you was a kid, there was
the
movie Juice with Omar Epps and Tupac Shakur?
Tupac, That's
remember that scene at the end of the movie? The end of the movie when GQ, Omar Epps' character, is looking for Tupac. And he did, like, the scene before he goes up through the party and they meet up and have that fight on the rooftop and he's looking for him and that music plays. I want the Boston Celtics to bring that same mood to Game 3 in Boston this Friday night. They have to have – not that I want them to, you know, drop the Milwaukee – well, yeah, I wouldn't mind if they dropped the Milwaukee Bucks off of a – you know, Harlem rooftop, or maybe a, you know, Back Bay rooftop, or, you know, a Boston rooftop. But, you know, I want them to come in with that, you know, I'm about to have, you know, a fight for my life mentality. I don't want the cool guy, as much as I like the cool guy Kyrie Irving when he's, you know, scoring at ease and when he's keeping the team calm and ready to go. But for this game three, I want the Boston Celtics, you know, hooded up, ready to go. They got their metaphorical, let's say metaphorical, because they don't want to promote any violence on this show, but they have their metaphorical piece, you know, tucked into their Timberland boots or whatever it is, and I want them to come out just like.
you want the bishop. You want the bishop to come out of the Celtics.
That's right. Well, GQ was the one that ended up winning. He got the juice now, as they said at the end of the movie. You got the juice now, bro. But, yeah, I want that, you know, that bishop. Check yourself, Q. You know, I want to – you got to go in the blaze of glory if you have to. I think I've quoted that on the show before. But that's the Celtics that I want. What do you think? What do you think the Celtics need to do? What kind of attitude? We've already discussed kind of, you know, the offensive and defensive and the X's and O's elements that the Celtics can improve on. But attitude-wise, how do the Boston Celtics, Joel, need to come out in Game 3 this Friday night at 8 o'clock, TD Garden, sold-out crowd, fans all in green, screaming, bleeding green, sweating green, probably some vomiting in the bathroom green because they had too much beer that was probably green. What do the Boston Celtics need to do in Game 3 to stomp out the Milwaukee Bucks and hang that deer head up on the mantle? I don't know what it's called. What is that called when they stuff the old heads? I don't know what it is.
Taxidermy.
I want a taxidermy Greek freak head up on the mantle. What do the Boston Celtics need to bring in mentally? What mentality? Do they need some Mamba mentality? Not to attribute anything to one of our most hated rivals, but you know Kyrie and Kobe are good friends. So what is the mentality and who's going to bring it for the Boston Celtics in Game 3?
Kyrie Irving. Playoff Kyrie Irving. I want 35, 40 points even. If he can get even more than that, then so be it. He's got to come out aggressive. He's got to punch him in the mouth first. Okay, it's not fear the deer, it's fear Bambi. They got to come out and say, "Yo, these dudes ain't ready. These dudes ain't ready for the Boston environment that they know what it is here." Like earlier in game two, the crowd was chanting some nonsense about the refs. Oh, the refs suck. No, what do they chant in Boston when they're pissed off? When the crowd is pissed off at the visiting team or the refs? BS, they always say BS, BS. I don't want to say the whole word, but you know what I'm talking about, right? You know when they're pissed, and some people get
peed off
of that.
Bullshit. Exactly. Right? Is that the one?
Exactly.
I think that's the one.
That's the one. Yes, they got the Celtics and it starts with Kyrie. They have to feed off the crowd, okay? And Jason Tatum, okay, I know he just turned 21, but he's got to put on his big boy pants, and he's got to take it to the hoop, because that's when he is unstoppable, when he goes to the hoop. None of this little mid-range, you know, just inside the three-pointer. None of this bitching to the refs when he doesn't get his way and smacking his hands like he's an all-star, like he's done something in his league. Bro, earn it. Earn your way and make a name for yourself in these playoffs. That's what the playoffs are all about, okay? I'm going to leave you with this, though, real quick. Kyrie was asked, okay? I'm shout out to Joe Sway, because he's out there in Milwaukee, and he just tweeted this. Okay, he was asked. Kyrie Irving was asked about any pressure or any burden that the Celtics feel right now going into Game 3. And I quote from Kyrie, "There's no extra burden. This is what I signed up for. This is why Boston traded for me." That's the mentality that the Celtics need to go with come Friday night in Game 3.
And Kyrie Irving, and thank you for that quote. We like having the inside connections, the inside family connections. It's part of the family. We keep it in the family, like the inside family connections. And I like Kyrie Irving taking the reins. I like to hear that from Kyrie Irving, taking the reins, saying this is what, you know, he signed up for. I think that's, and I'm sure there were more questions for him after that game about his performance in this game. I haven't seen the post-game comments. That's one of those things that preparing for the post-game show, sometimes you don't get to do. You don't get to, watch all the streaming, you know, post-game things, and you don't get to see some of those things. I don't get a chance to jump on Twitter and catch all the stuff like some of the other hosts do. They may have their Twitter up at the same time, and they get to see the things as they stream through. But, you know, a quote from Joe Sway is as good as anything in the business, so I'll take that. Kyrie Irving setting the tone early and answering those questions, and I'm sure, like I said, he has a whole ton of questions on his plate tonight about his unfortunate performance, and there's only two ways if we know Kyrie, and it's very difficult to know Kyrie because he's one of those mercurial individuals. I've used that word more doing this post-game show throughout this season than I've used that word in my entire life. The mercurial Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. No, I've called them on College Street podcast. I always call him a unique cat. That's what he is. He's a unique cat.
he is absolutely unique. He's one of our longtime callers, a co-host of mine that did the weekly wrap-ups that I did for a little while at the end of the season to keep everybody up to date. Isaiah called him flighty. I like that word, flighty. Kind of, you know, on the impulsive, on a whim, on the seat of his pants, kind of says some things, does some things, maybe doesn't really think them all through, isn't really exactly what, like, I think that was a little bit much, maybe talking about having his number retired in the rafters. You know, you look back on that, maybe, you know, that would have lowered some of the expectations had he not done some of those things. And, you know, Kyrie is definitely unique. He's mercurial. He's just an interesting persona. But I think if there's something inside Kyrie where Kyrie can generate that, you know, that not just the individual killer instinct, because most players in the NBA, I mean, not most players, but most stars in the NBA have that killer instinct mode where they can, you know, put it into that star gear. They don't even have to be a superstar, but a player that can, you know, have an impact on the game. We saw Jimmy Butler do it last night against the Toronto Raptors, and I wouldn't consider Jimmy Butler a superstar. I consider him, you know, a very solid all-star. You know, he's a very solid two-way player, but he's not a superstar in the sense that... He's second tier. There ain't nobody out there buying like Jimmy Butler shoes or whatever else. You know, he's not like killing it in merch sales and in endorsements and stuff. But he's a guy that, you know, in a game like that, like the game last night against the Raptors, which the 76ers won, you know, he can put the team on his back for, you know, one or two, maybe even three of those games in a series, depending on how, you know, how badly it's needed. But a guy that's not necessarily, you know, a superstar. Those, you know, they have that extra, you know, mode. But a guy like Kyrie doesn't just need to get himself into that extra mode. He needs to learn how to then make that mode. And I hesitate to call it Mamba mentality because I don't like Kobe Bryant, but Kyrie Irving even has models of his shoes named after the Mamba mentality. He's, you know, after the Cavaliers won that historic down, you know, 3-1 in the finals to the Warriors, and after Kyrie and the Cavaliers won that championship a couple of years ago, rumor has it that Kyrie was in the locker room while his teammates were celebrating, and he was FaceTiming Kobe Bryant. So it's not just a matter of I don't care what Kyrie calls it. I don't care if Kyrie calls it the Mamba mentality. I don't care if he calls it the flat earth mentality. I don't care if he calls it the, you know, Malibu plush Barbie mentality, as long as he goes out there and shows us playoff Kyrie. But not just that, Joel. I want Kyrie to also show us that he can be contagious with that, you know, Kyrie mentality, with that playoff Kyrie mentality, and spread that contagion, because that's one of the things that I think is missing from this team in absence. And we haven't talked that much about Marcus Smart, and I think that's unfortunate. There's missing from Marcus Smart. It's not just those plays. It's not just the hustle. It's not just the grit on defense, but it's that, you know, shit's going wrong right now. Let's get the guy, you know, let's get together in this huddle and let's get somebody to say some words. Kyrie's kind of like a follow me type guy. I'm going to lead by example, but he's not really the vocal, I'm going to gather the guys together in the huddle and, you know, and get them amped up with a nice, you know, speech or a nice, you know, this is how I do it. I'm,
no,
you know, Uncle Drew.
That's not him.
That's not the way he does it.
That's not how he does it,
I don't know who's going to do it, because it's not going to be Jason Tatum. I don't know. I don't think Gordon Hayward's that guy either. Marcus Smart would have been the guy to do it, but I think if there is a game that it needs to happen, Joel, I think Game 3 is the game. Because if they lose Game 3, then the momentum for this series is completely different. I mean, this series takes on a whole new complexion. So I think Kyrie Irving, and correct me if I'm wrong, can Kyrie Irving, Joel, can he turn on the Kyrie mentality? I'm not going to call it Mamba mentality no more, because I don't care about Mambas. I care about Kyrie's. Can he turn on the Uncle Drew mentality, and can he make that contagious to his teammates? Can he be that type of leader for at least the next game or two until Marcus Smart comes back, where he's rallying the guys, where he's being vocal, and where he's putting the fire under their ass to say, listen, we can't play with this team. They're the best team in the NBA. We have to win these two games here in Boston. Then we only got to win one more game this series, and it's over.
Well, he did it in game one, so we just need him to turn up that level, or that turn it up another notch in game three, or another two notches if possible, where it's a combination of he knew when to score and when to pass to his teammates, when to get his teammates involved. And he's like, and there's stretches in games, especially in the playoffs so far, and we saw a lot of it in the regular season, but in the playoffs so far, he has known, obviously not tonight, but he has known when I got to take over and when I got to get my players involved, my teammates involved. And he's got to figure that out, figure out the balance come game three. But I would love to see him start off like just going nuts, take it to the rim, you know, make these dudes dance and score the basketball, because that's not, we didn't see that tonight. And I think he was shell-shocked of how they were playing him tonight. And he's like, that's not going to happen again. And it can't happen again. So I think, like I said, a lot of what he did in game one, but just up, turn it up another two notches, and you'll see the difference in game three, because other guys will be, well, they should, and they better be, making their shots, too. Because, I mean, he had 11 assists in game one. That's a career high for him, because the last time he had, if I'm not mistaken, 23 double-doubles in a regular season with points and assists. The last, not even the last time, but his high, or his career high before this season, was 8 double-doubles. So he's getting his guys involved. It's that they also have to put in their part and make their shots. And that, like again, has to be a balance. Got to find that balance. And I think Kyrie, he's gonna make that happen. And even if those guys are not hitting their shots, he still has to find a way to create offense.
And, you know, you bring up a fantastic point, and I'm thinking of, like, how does this correlate? You said something about Kyrie and making him dance. And I'm looking at Kyrie's box score and what he did offensively. And we know that Kyrie, he drove to the basket early in the game, and his layup wasn't really on. He was, like, missing a lot of the angles that he normally hits, because we know that Kyrie he's a geometrist out there. He can, like, hit pretty much any angle off the backboard. He just knows that. That's one of the things I loved about Rajon Rondo so much, was that he was a lefty. He was weird. I think he was a lefty. I don't know. He just did weird things. He could make layups off of the wrong foot. He could hit, you know, parts of the backboard that you didn't think. And Kyrie is even better at it than Rondo. And where Rondo was kind of herky-jerky and kind of, you know, weird and then turning the opposite direction, Kyrie is herky-jerky and all the things, but he's smooth too. And, you know, Kyrie doing that. And you said something about making him dance. And I'm looking at this game and the fact that he wasn't hitting his layups and therefore then decided to rely on those kind of pull up early in the shot clock jump shots, and you look at his 9-point performance, and then you look at Eric Bledsoe, who had 21 points in 26 minutes. Like, you know, I know Eric Bledsoe he worked out over the summer and he's got a different body now than he had last, you know, off season when he was, you know, having a duel with Scary Terry, you know, skinny Scary Terry with them long arms. And now you got, you know, Drew Bledsoe, whatever, out there looking like a, you know, a mobile quarterback or something, like he could have been drafted number two behind Kyler Murray. He's out there looking all swollen and stuff like that. But the reason he was able to get those 21 points tonight, and I know he killed it in the Detroit series, but I'm not taking the Detroit series for anything more than half a grain of salt divided by two, you know, minus five, you know, because that was a Detroit series wasn't worth anything. The reason one of the reasons Eric Bledsoe was able to be second on his team in plus, or third on his team in plus minus, of plus 23, 21 points on 7 of 12 shooting in 26 minutes, is that Kyrie wasn't doing anything. When you, as an offensive player, especially one like Kyrie that's such a difficult cover, you're so difficult because you have the best handles in the game. I'm sorry, Chris Paul. I'm sorry, Steph Curry. I'm sorry, James Harden. But Kyrie Irving has the best handles in the game. And when you have a player that can just basically make you sit there in what, you know, I as a coach will call, you know, the invisible chair. You're squatting down, you're there, your arms are out, you're having the guard, and he's making you dance, like you just said, he's making you do, you know, the Charleston, he's making you do the crip walk out there, and your legs are getting tired because you don't know which direction he's going. That makes it, when you're spending so much of your time as a defender, as Kyrie should be making Eric Bledsoe do, in that squatted, invisible chair position having to guard you, that takes away your legs on the other end of the floor when it comes time for you to hit that jump shot. And maybe you don't hit that three-point shot. Maybe you don't hit that critical shot because your legs are so tired, because your body is so worn down from having to put up with Kyrie Irving actually taking you to the basket instead of settling for, you know, dribble, 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 pull up, you know, step away or step to the side, you know, slightly contested three-point shot that Kyrie Irving was settling for tonight. So I think if Kyrie Irving can be more aggressive, even if he's missing his shots, if he can put pressure on Eric Bledsoe to play defensively, he's gonna tire Eric Bledsoe out.
Yeah, no, another thing too, you're right, because he's easily flustered, Eric Bledsoe. We've seen it. He's easily flustered. You get him in a foul trouble early, you get him out, he never gets going. I mean, because he hit a few threes today, and I think that's what got him going. But if Brogdon is coming back to play in game three, Eric Bledsoe won't be the ball handler. It's gonna be Brogdon that's gonna be their primary playmaker. So that's even better for Kyrie, because Bledsoe is forced to have to guard him for most of the game. And then on the flip side, Kyrie will have to worry more about Brogdon than he does about Bledsoe. And so then that's where Jaylen Brown has to step up defensively. And if Smart's available, I'm not saying he is, I'm just, you know, throwing it out there. If Smart's available, and he already said that he'll play any role that coach wants him to play. He's not trying to mess anything up. You know, that makes it a whole new ball game, especially in the perimeter. I'm getting through.
Yep, definitely. Let's take a couple more calls. The show is about to be over. We have, the clock says 15 minutes. We don't even got to stay that long. I think we've covered the game. We've covered look ahead game three. But we do still have some callers on the betonline.ag, toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. Let's jump to area code 207. 207, I think that's Maine. What's up, 207? What do you think about the Game 2 loss, 123-102, Boston Celtics dropping the game to the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference semifinals? Area code 207, what's on your mind?
It's Blair from Maine. What's going on?
What's up, Blair?
Hey, what's going on, man? Oh, my God. Nick Sonocento, right? Isn't that how you say your name?
Yes, sir. And I'm here with Joel Pavone.
What's going on, Joel Pavone?
What's going on?
So, man, I mean, you couldn't say anything wrong. I mean, we were up. We could have beat these guys. We could have beat the Bucks, Milwaukee, and they just know how to beat the Celtics. And Celtics need to know next game what to do to beat them and what to do to capitalize. And if we can capitalize on all the stuff we didn't do this game that we didn't do right, then we'll be okay. We'll be fine. We can win. And we'll be on
What's
our
one
own
of those things,
court.
What are one of those things, Blair, that you think the Celtics should capitalize on?
Well, one of them's win on our home court, and home court advantage is one of the things we have at home, you know. Being at home is home court advantage, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so that's one thing is home court advantage you got to remember. But the other thing they got to remember is you can't let them take a lead and take a big lead, because then we don't get it back, because the Bucks have too many good players, like I don't know how you say his name. I could barely say his name. You know who I mean.
Antetokounmpo, Giannis?
Yeah, that one. Yes, exactly. I don't know how he has that weird name and how many threes he can make every game he's in the game. And it doesn't matter if he's in the game or not, but when he's in the game, he makes shots that are really good. So,
I think that was Chris Middleton tonight, more than Giannis. But Giannis sure can hit a lot of free throws. Well, a lot relatively speaking. He takes a lot of them. He doesn't necessarily hit a lot of them, but he does take a lot of free throws. It sure is fun to stop the game and watch him stand there dribbling the ball for 30 seconds before taking a shot. That's certainly exciting playoff basketball, wouldn't you think, Blair?
Yeah, well, you know, it would be more exciting if we can stop all their good players that can shoot the ball. Like, if we could stop Giannis and we can steal it from him and not have him sit there try to dribble the ball for 30 seconds, would that be fun? Will that be okay? Will that interest you right there, Nick? Will that be okay?
If we would have done it tonight, we might have won the game.
You know who I want to play in the finals right now? Would be awesome. Would be Golden State, and Golden State's playing the Houston Rockets. So that's who I want to end up seeing if we can get past, you know. But before then, we do have to get past the Milwaukee Bucks, and then we have to wait to see who the 76ers, if they get past who they're playing, which that will be a tough one. Because we either have to play, we get past Milwaukee, which we got to worry about Milwaukee. They're going to be tough. They ain't going to let us, you know, squeeze right by them. So it ain't going to be a squeeze. We're going to have to really fight and want to really win this series, you know. It's not going to be, well, this is really easy, you know. We're you know. I thought we were going to win it 4-0, but after tonight, no. It's not going to be.
Well, it's not possible after tonight. Before I get to the other callers, Blair, real quick, what's your prediction for this series? How many games did the Celtics win it in? Or do you think the Bucks will win this series?
What's this
six
say?
Seven games?
7-6.
Six to seven games, you think the Celtics win this?
Yeah, game seven, we take it, because it's just, unless I'm wrong, but I'm just saying, because, you know, this Bucks team is really good, and they played really good tonight, and they beat us, so it's going to be a dogfight till the finish.
love that. Thanks for the call, Blair. As always, make sure to tune in after every single game. The next game will be Friday at 8 o'clock, so the post-game show will be at 10:30. There will be the CLNS Media post-game staff. Don't know who the hosts will be, but we will be here about 10:30, immediately after the game, to give you all the coverage. Joel, let me see if this one last caller in 617 wants to jump on the air, and then after that we can probably close it up. Area code 617, you're live on the air. Do you want to have anything to say about the game, or are you just listening?
Hey, guys. Merlin here from Boston, Massachusetts. How's it going?
Merlin from Boston?
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever.
You guys.
Boston. What's good?
What's up?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think you guys, you know, hit all the points as far as what happened tonight. I think the third quarter was definitely the difference maker in the game. I think the Bucks just stole the momentum. They went on their run, and I think the Celtics just didn't counter. They've definitely have struggled with that at certain parts during the season. And I think Giannis and Middleton were definitely a force. And I think the difference between game one versus game two, Horford just took Giannis out of his game. He looked a lot more comfortable out there, and I think the rest of the Bucks players just fed off of that. So not only that, but the three-point shooting, they set a franchise record. They hit, you know, 20 threes. So they shot over 40%, maybe 42%. And, of course, Kyrie, Tatum, and including Hayward had an off night. So I don't think that's going to happen very often. So their backs were up against the wall. They knew they had to win this game. So a lot was on the line, and I think that was a big motivating factor for them.
Definitely, man.
What do you think, Joel?
I completely agree. I completely agree. You know, I think Horford did his thing in game one, defensively and offensively, and in the first half of this game. But it just can't be all Horford. As great as he is, other guys were supposed to step up. And you know, he did a lot. I mean, covering Antetokounmpo is not an easy thing. It made his job a lot easier in game one because there was a lot of help defense, and you didn't see them a lot of that, especially in the second half. So that's where the Bucks took advantage. And we mentioned the long rebounds and the poor shooting led to easy transition points and their turnovers. And that's where the Bucks. That's their bread and butter when they're able to score easily in transition. So they got to limit that. Something's got to limit that. That was a huge issue against the Pacers with turnovers. So they did a good job in game one. Tonight, not so much.
So,
yeah,
Merlin,
yeah,
what do you think? What do you think is the key for game three for the Boston Celtics coming in game three? Other than obviously Kyrie Irving scoring more than 9 points, what do you think has to happen for this Boston Celtics team, either offensively or defensively, to take back the momentum in this series? Even though obviously stealing one game in Milwaukee is momentum in and of itself, but to maintain what they've earned. Because if they lose a game in Boston, then they give it right back. What they did in game one means nothing. So what is it going to take for the Boston Celtics? Because there's a lot here from this game you can take, both offensively and defensively, that the Boston Celtics need to do better if they plan on winning games three and four in Boston. What do you think is going to be the key, Merlin?
Well, I think it's a couple of things, right? I'm not sure where the Bucks are ranked offensively and defensively, but I know they're pretty much up there. They're either one and two for offense, and for defense, they're probably, you know, one of the top teams as well. So I think Joel, you know, hit the nail on the head, which is something I'm already aware of. As far as their transition points, you got to limit that. So I think by neutralizing that, you're taking away a lot of the easy points, and that kind of opens up the games for the Bucks. So you want to neutralize Giannis when he's bringing the ball up. You got to meet him at half court. Don't let him just waltz his way across the court like that, because you know you're giving him just too much space, and he can pretty much run the offense. You know he's going to shoot like 70% in the paint. So you got to make it hard. So when he goes in there, he's going to kick it out. And he's going to draw a lot of attention. So transition, you got to minimize that as much as possible. And you got to match their energy and intensity. In game one, the energy was totally different from the Celtics. So you got to maintain that energy level for all four quarters. Also, if the Bucks go on a run, you know, they got to match it. And obviously the defense from three has got to be a lot better. And the shooting's got to be much better as well. So it starts with the defense. And then, of course, the Celtics got to shoot the ball much better. But everybody's got to step up. So and it's got to be a group effort as far as, you know, containing Giannis, because I don't think just one person can do it. I think the game plan from game one worked great. And I think that the Celtics got to kind of go back to what worked in game one. So that's what I think.
Good stuff. Good stuff, Merle, man. We appreciate the phone call. You're right. You got a lot of good points that you brought up, and it was a complete opposite of a showing and an effort for the Celtics from game one to game two. So they gotta make some, not a big huge adjustments, some minor adjustments, and then I think they know what that needs to be done. But no, thanks for the call, Merle, man. We appreciate that, man. 617 in the house.
Yeah, no problem.
Definitely love the informed calls, the calls that can, you know, break down aspects of the game. It makes our job so much easier when you get, you know, those callers that can actually talk X's and O's and talk about, the analytical aspect of the game. So fantastic call from Merlin in Boston. I wanted to make sure I get it in, you know, the 617 area code. Boston area codes always get precedence here on the CLNS Media. We take calls from everybody because Celtics Nation is worldwide, but of course
worldwide,
we always like
baby.
To hear from the locals, because those of you, whether it's 857-617-508, we love Massachusetts. We love the Boston area. It is home base for the Boston Celtics and CLNS Media. And just to Merlin's point, the Milwaukee Bucks prior to tonight were second in the NBA in team points per game at 115 points per game, and that included game one of this series, but not game two. Second behind only the Golden State Warriors. Didn't get a chance to look at. Yeah, so Golden State was number one, at least according to basketballreference.com, and that's their playoff team points per game stats. I didn't get a chance to look at the defensive numbers because, as I said, this Windows laptop is not the most reliable, so sometimes just don't listen. I don't try to push it.
No, it's all good. I get it. It's live. It's live. Live radio. Things happen. You gotta keep rolling with it. No, but I think I'm pretty sure before the playoffs started in the regular season, they are the number one defensive team in terms of points allowed, and I think they only beat Utah by like 0.4 or something like that. You know, so I think they were only allowed like 104 points or something like that. So, yeah. Near the top for offense, the top for defense, and they pretty much have to just make it uncomfortable for Antetokounmpo the same way they did in game one. He's going to get his 25 to 29 points. That goes without saying, but it's how he gets there. It's what's going to be the difference, because you got to wear him out, make him uncomfortable. Like, this is Boston. Down on Causeway Street, you got to make sure that the Greek Freak is not gonna be comfortable here. Make him uncomfortable. That's plain and simple. I mean, better. It's easier said than done, but it can be done.
Yeah, and like we mentioned earlier, you know, you're going to have to. It's going to be one of those situations, and we talked about this as, you know, CLNS personalities, and I'm sure other analysts throughout, you know, the pro sports land, NBA land, and of course, weird Celtics Twitter and the Celtics blogosphere and everywhere else is, you know, the theory of whether or not you try to stop Giannis and let everybody else have theirs, or whether you try to stop everybody else and let Giannis have his. And I think you've seen two different strategies. One worked and one didn't. There wasn't too much, I don't think, of a difference in the shots that the Milwaukee Bucks had in game one than they had in game two. It's just that they weren't dropping in game one, and in game two they were falling for them. So it's going to be one of those situations where who's hot, and I think the Boston Celtics are really going to have to keep an eye on that and make those decisions, because I think tonight what ended up happening was they kind of got stuck in between. It's like, do we commit to that, you know, that wall of, you know, defense against Giannis to stop him from getting, you know, within one dribble or one, you know, euro step of the hoop, or do we, you know, play, or do we play our men tighter on the perimeter to run Chris Middleton and to run Drew Bledsoe off the three-point line? And I think that along with that, as you mentioned yourself, is not allowing the Milwaukee Bucks to go out on runs, and that requires Kyrie Irving not only to obviously do better in the game altogether, and it requires Jason Tatum to do better in the game altogether, and it requires Gordon Hayward to have another game, another Gordon Hayward game, at least a decent average Gordon Hayward game, and it requires Scary Terry to, you know, to, if he's playing, you know, 25 plus minutes, to not go 2-for-10 and 0-for whatever he'd went from three. It requires a lot of different things, but even if the Celtics are going to miss, you know, the shots they miss, like they missed tonight, they have to be possessions that make the Milwaukee Bucks, A, work for it on defense. They have to work for those stops. Don't bail them out with those cheap early jump shots that just aren't falling. You have to make them work for it. Kyrie, you got to make Eric Bledsoe dance. You have to make him work on defense to take away his legs so they're not fresh when he goes and plays on offense. And number two, when those shots aren't falling, and even when the shots are falling, sometimes even in Brad's system, there are shots that work going to the basket. You'll find a man cutting, getting to the basket. You'll have that, you know, whether it's a pick. The Celtics are more of a pick and pop team because Al Horford is so fantastic at hitting those, you know, those top of the key pop jump shots. But, you know, maybe get some things rolling to the basket. I know Giannis Antetokounmpo, he has those long arms and he can, you know, defend fairly well. But nobody else on the Milwaukee Bucks roster is an enforcer down low. Brook Lopez can block a couple of shots. Nikola Mirotic can change a couple of shots. But they're not imposing defensive players that are out there. Yeah. And if you can keep Giannis outside, you know, if you can get Giannis a couple of feet outside of the paint and not that close, attack the basket, get some of the offense running inside and then out, getting some easy baskets, forcing the pressure on the rim, and that then forces the Bucks defense to not only stop you from dancing on them, stop you from driving, stop you from getting to the rim, but then also those rebounds are not as long. It requires them to bring the ball the entire length of the court as opposed to long rebound, three guys running out, and you got a 3-on-2 or a 3-on-1 easy basket for the Bucks. So that's what I think, and that's going to be my final words. Joel, you can finish out the show for us with your final words if you have anything else to say. I think we've covered this game about to death. There's no more horse left, no more dead horse left to beat. But if you got any last words, you can go ahead and throw them. You can go ahead and throw them out there.
I think this is a must wait for the Celtics. You don't want to go down in the series because they've gone up, they've tied now, and you want to keep this. Even if it's like you win one, you lose one, you win one. But you don't go down. That's the point. I feel like the Celtics, if they can not go down in this series, then it just makes life that much easier, and all the pressure is on the Bucks, not the Celtics. So I'm gonna just leave everybody with that nugget, because I feel like you know that it's not like I don't think the pressure is on the Celtics at this point, even though it's 1-1 and it's the first game, you know, at the Garden, down on Causeway. I just feel like if they pull this one out, then the pressure will be on the Bucks going forward.
Ooh, I like that. From a must win to a must win. Tonight was a must win for the Milwaukee Bucks, and they answered the call. 123-102, reversing their fortunes from game one. Disappointing loss for them at Fiserv Forum in game one to the Boston Celtics, the underdog Boston Celtics, turning it around almost completely from a 22-point loss in game one to a 21-point win, and it was actually not even that close. The Boston Celtics garbage time runners happened to bring the score a little bit closer than it would have been otherwise, but Milwaukee Bucks reversing their fortunes, 123 to 102 tonight at Fiserv Arena. Heading back to Boston Friday, game time, tip-off, 8 p.m., taking the series tied 1-1 back to TD Garden. Let's see if the Boston Celtics can hold serve at home in the Bean. With that, for my co-host Joel Pavone of the Causeway Street Podcast. Once again, that's the Causeway Street Podcast. Don't want to forget that. Make sure to check that out. If you are a true Boston Celtics fan, a true member of Celtics Nation, you will already have heard of the Causeway Street broadcast. But if you haven't, make sure to check that out. You can't get any better analysis and Boston Celtics talk than the Causeway Street podcast with my man, Joel Pavone. And with that, I am your host, Nick Sesento. Make sure to tune in again, once again, 10:30, around 10:30, as soon as the game is over on Friday, game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinals between the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. Make sure to tune in to CLNS Media postgame. Have a good evening, y'all.
Today's episode is powered by BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit. That's BetOnline.ag. Go to clnsmedia.com/win and use the promo code CLNS50 to receive 50% cash back on your first deposit.
When it's time to make a hire for your small business, of course you want to find the best person for that job. Well, the odds are that person is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to get matched with quality candidates who make the most sense for your role. People come to LinkedIn every day to learn and advance their careers, so LinkedIn understands what they're interested in and what they're looking for, which means when you use LinkedIn Jobs to hire someone, your matches are based on so much more than a resume. LinkedIn goes further. They include skills and background, interests, activities, and passions. This way, you'll get the most relevant and qualified candidate early on in the process, and you can spend more time on candidates you're excited about. Customers rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in developing quality hires. So listen up. Post a job today at linkedin.com/garden and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/garden. Terms and conditions apply.